Right, I want you guys to go like this. With this hand. I want you to turn the volume up because you're going to need to listen. With this hand, take it over your shoulder. Strap yourself in because it's going to be wild ride tonight. Come on. So first things first, I'm going to kick things off and I'm going to get me my Sam Wright up here for a quick chat. Who likes themselves a bit of Sam Wright? I like Sam. Sam's a good man. I'm going to give Sam a microphone. So Sam, how tall are you?
How tall am I?
Yeah.
I haven't measured myself in 2 years, but I think around 6'3".
6'3".
I think. Ooh. It's an estimation.
What do you think I am?
Maybe 6, if you're lucky.
Six?
Nah, I don't know. I'm terrible with
that. I'm 5'9".
Oh.
5'9". Now, Sam plays basketball, for those who didn't know. How would you rate your skills on the b-ball court?
Oh, definitely a 10.
A 10. I'd probably rate him up there somewhere. I'd rate him up there somewhere. I play basketball. I used to be actually really, really good at basketball, even though I'm really short. Sam, you've seen me play.
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah. You know I'm pretty competitive.
Yep.
Yeah. So, do you reckon I could beat you in a game of one-on-one? Be honest.
Oh. If I'm honest, Ricardo, it'd be a tight game.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I would find it very, very difficult to beat Sam. I've seen Sam play. He's pretty awesome. But I would give it my absolute all to beat Sam. I would give it my absolute best to beat Sam, even though I probably couldn't. So the title of my message... Thanks, Sam. You can sit down. Well done. Title of my message is Your Best. Your Best. And look, there's a little ruler on there. It's like, what? What's up with that? So that's a scale, for those that can see it, of like a 1 centimeter or 10 millimeter ruler. And there's a little red arrow. It says 4.7 millimeters. 4.7 millimeters. Anyone heard of Milorad Kovac?
No.
2008 Olympic Games. 100 meters butterfly, you know, that really awful stroke that nobody can ever do properly. I do about 3-4 strokes and I'm done. 2008 Olympic Games, Milorad Kovac set an Olympic record in the first round heat for the 100 meters butterfly. He was on fire. He was picked to win everything. He was just swimming that well, the 100 meters butterfly. In the final, he led the field for over halfway. At the turn, the 50-meter pool, they make the turn, he was ahead by probably a good sort of 2-3 feet. However, there was a guy called Michael Phelps. You may have heard of him. He was in that race. Michael Phelps powered his way in that last 50 meters of the butterfly. This is the only event in 2008 that Michael Phelps did not hold a world record in. The 100 meters butterfly was the only event he didn't hold a world record in. However, he surged past Kovac in that last 50 meters of the butterfly, and he won by a distance of 4.7 millimeters. Approximately that much. Unbelievable. Kovac did his absolute best to win that race. He did everything in his power to win that race, and yet he still came second. It's very controversial. It made him famous because there was a lot of controversy behind it, but that's all other stuff. So, John the Baptist. I was just talking about Sam before, and he could probably dunk on me, you know, if he really wanted to, in a basketball game. There was a guy in the Bible that dunked more than anybody. He used to dunk people left, right, and center. And his name was John the Baptist. He was the ultimate dunker. He was throwing down people left, right, and center. He even threw Jesus down. This guy was the ultimate dunker. However, this guy was a true professional, and he was, even though he was at his best, in John 1:26, he said this. They said this. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This guy was the ultimate best. This guy, they thought he was the Messiah. A lot of people back then, they thought he was the Messiah. And yet, when the true Messiah came along, what did he say? He says, I'm not even fit to touch his feet. Not alone his feet, his shoes. Not even fit to untie his sandals. That's how much of an awesome guy John the Baptist was. And that's how much he recognized the best, because Jesus was the best. Where are my twins? Where's the Upton boys? Where are they? They're coming around. Up you come, boys. Up you come, lads. I absolutely.
Hello, everybody.
Did anyone see this guy? He was playing one-handed. Tonight he was playing one-handed on the drum kit. It was crazy. I love the Upton twins. And I'll tell you why I love the Upton twins. Because week in, week out, they deliver their absolute best. And it's so recognizable on stage. And that's why I wanted to get them up and honor them here tonight, because they are phenomenal. Stop tapping the mic. It takes a lot just to be standing on a stage. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, there used to be a stat that most people would rather be in the coffin than giving a eulogy, you know, such as public speaking and being public on public display. But when these guys get on stage, they absolutely throw everything into it. The kitchen sink is there in spades. And I just wanted to honor you guys tonight, and I just say you guys do the absolute best. And it's not about perfection. It's not about perfection, because you talk to these guys after and you say, man, you were amazing on the drum kit. Man, you were jumping around with that guitar. And they're just like,
yeah, hey? Yeah, we sit and went perfect tonight, so that's Ricardo.
But I just wanted to ask you guys, when you get up here, what is it, how is it that you prepare to do what you do?
yeah, you didn't give us the thinking time. I think once you sort of find your purpose and your calling, if that kind of makes sense, I think, you know, it really comes quite naturally to give it your all. And I think being on stage here is a platform, you know, to obviously lead all you guys in worship. So I feel that, you know, if I can try and give at least everything that I've got here, you know, I'm hoping that it'll encourage all of you guys to give your all as well, whether that's through praise, through worship, whatever, however that looks like for you. But, I'm thinking so. So I think if I go hard, if I hit those brakes real hard, you know, and I try and bring the energy there, it's going to transpond to you guys, and you guys are going to get an encounter that I've got. It was awesome opportunity to be up here, you know. I don't take it for granted, so... Yeah. It's a cool platform to have.
Andrew, how do you keep yourself in that zone?
I think the key for me is kind of a revelation of who God is. I think, obviously, you know, we play a lot of music, we play in the band stuff and play a lot of weddings and just parties and stuff like that. And the difference is here, you know, we are playing, you know, for the King. And it's kind of a revelation of who he is. You know, we're not just playing up here just to get some people dancing on the stage. You know, God, you know, I've had a revelation of, you know, God is, you know, is all, and he's the be all end all, and, you know, he's the reason why we do this. So, up to that, eh? So. Yes, I mean, go hard, eh? I mean, if you don't have a revelation of who God is and you're just kind of new to this and stuff, man, dig in and you get into the presence. Don't worry about what people think, eh? That's the biggest thing, eh? I think I spent probably 12, I don't know, or 15 years, probably just kind of standing there and thinking, oh, I know, what's this about? And it's not until you engage and, yeah, like I said, get a revelation of who God is and that he wants you to, you know, be free and, yeah, just go hard for him. So
awesome. Hey, thanks, fellas. Upton boys. That's it. A revelation on who God is. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Colossians 3, if you ever get the chance to read Colossians 3, it is the manual for this stuff. Colossians 3 is just so full of instructions of how to live this at your best life. So please, in your own time, when you get a chance, go home, read Colossians 3, read it again. Get it into your spirit. Let it speak to you over and over and over again, and I trust you, you will wake up a completely different person than when you finish reading that book. It is that good. So, your best. Who thinks they're at their best? Who thinks they give their best each and every day? Or who thinks Sunday is going to be the day where I'm going to be at my best? Who leaves everything out in the tank for Sunday and does nothing the other 6 days? It's true. I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. You know, we leave a lot of things in the tank because you think, oh, I'm going to get it fixed on Sunday. I'll just get down on my knees. I can pray it away. You know, praying's good. Don't get me wrong, praying's great. But what have you done Monday through to Saturday at your best to get prepared for Sunday? Sunday, God does miracles. He does amazing miracles. He's not a wishing well. God's not a wishing well. You can't just wish away stuff. You know, if you have addictions and you still have them come Sunday, and you pray about it, respond to, you know, an altar call or whatever it might be. That's all really good stuff. You seek forgiveness for your addiction. That's really good stuff. Don't knock that at all. However, what have you done on Monday to solve your problem of addiction? Have you made yourself accountable to someone? Hey, dude, just so you know, I've got this problem. I'm really struggling with it. I need you as my accountability person just so I can let you know, just so I can ring you up and just tell you, mate, I'm having a bad day. I think I'm going to go down that track. Have you phoned up a counselor or someone to help, a professional to help you with your problem? Have you told your spouse or your best friend? Have you told someone that's close to you? So when you get to Sunday and you pray, you know that you've given your absolute best Monday through to Saturday, that Sunday you're just putting the icing on the cake by going before God and delivering it in front of Him. Do you think God never gives His best? Do you think God has a bad night's sleep? Gets up on the wrong side of bed, can't be bothered, a little bit hazy. You know what, I'm not at my best today. Probably operating at about 20%. Only 20% of miracles and prayers answered today. You know, He doesn't do that. He's at His best every single day. There is no in-between with God. It's either the best or it's just the best. There's nothing else. With God, it's just the best. And you can imagine if God was like that. Oh, God, I want to give my life to you, but the Bible's a ban in my country. Please supply me with a missionary, with a great King James, an NIV, a Message Bible. I'll even take a Gideon stolen from a hotel. But please, Lord, just give me a Bible. Lord, I'm a miracle. And God's like, 20% God. Oh, here you go. Hi, I'm a missionary. Here's your Bible. Seems a bit light. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. The only Bibles available today had Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers in them. Ah! The thing with God, you know, you think other people, you see other people, and you think they're always at their best. Like, you might look up here and see the Uptons doing their thing, and you think, man, I just wish I could be like them. Man, I just wish I could pray like them. Man, I wish I could jump around like them. Man, I wish I could, you know, just have that revelation of God like them. Do you know what? God doesn't show favoritism. Period. Doesn't matter who you are. Galatians 2:6 says it like this. As for those who are held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. God, honestly, it doesn't matter where you are, what stage of your life you're in. God doesn't care. He does not show favoritism. He will give His best to you each and every single day. It does not matter if you're a pauper or a prince. God does not show favoritism. Oh, but you don't understand. I've got anxieties. I've got mental health problems. You don't understand. What did you do this week? You know, what did you do to help those mental health problems? Oh, you don't understand. I'm in financial ruin. I'm up to my debt and eyeball. My eyeball's in debt. What did you do? What did you do? What did you do Monday to Saturday before you came, turned up on Sunday and got on your knees and prayed and said, Lord, take my financial problems away from me? Did you second guess yourself when you drove into Macca's and ordered another Big Mac? When you drove into KFC and got that box of chicken? When you threw that extra treat into your groceries, did you think about your financial problems then? You cannot pray away debt. You can pray, but it won't just magically disappear just like that. Yes, you need to do it. And yes, you need to attach something practical to it. Your negative bank balance may not just disappear with prayer. If it does, give me a call because I want to know what you're praying. But James 2:20 says it best. Faith without works is dead. You've got to do something about it. Monday through to Saturday, you can't just rest on your laurels and think, Sunday is going to be the day I'm going to bring my best to church and it's all going to disappear. You know, I played rugby for a long, long time and I could have been a footy great. I could have been a footy great. True story. I used to train the house down like you wouldn't believe. Like from as long as I can remember, I would be the first one to training, I'd be the last one to leave training. I would train the house down, I'd put my absolute 100% effort into everything. I would throw the kitchen sink into my trainings because I just wanted to be an All Black. I wanted to be an All Black. And I would do everything in my power. Come game day, I would leave everything on the pitch, emptying my tank completely. Come off that field, you know, bruised, battered, hobbling most of the time. Everything, absolutely everything. And I thought I was giving my absolute best to what I was doing. I thought I was giving my best to it all. But I was an alcoholic. I had an addiction. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I was drinking. I wanted to be an All Black. Yet I was drinking to the point I was drunk nearly every day. And that is by far and away not my best. You know, I wanted to be an All Black like nothing else. I wanted to play representative rugby like nothing else. And here I was, straight after training, going to the nightclubs, going to the pubs. How is that my best? You know, at what point did I look back at myself as, you didn't give your best? I'll tell you what point. The point I became a Christian and realized, hey, there was a revelation in my life where I thought I was giving my best, but I wasn't. So now I have a little thing I try and do. I try my hardest to do. I want to be a better person tomorrow than I was, than the person I was today. Each and every day, I want to be a better version of myself in that day and the next day and the next day and so on. And yes, I fail from times. Sometimes I'm not the better version of myself the other day, but at least I'm giving it my best. And then when we look at Jesus, you know, every depiction you ever see, like a painting or a picture of Jesus, the guy looks like he's about 40 kilos wringing wet. You know, he doesn't look like this big brutish dude. He's quite wiry, you know, like I reckon I could have taken him in a good old arm wrestle, you know, an arm wrestle with Jesus. But of course he was Jesus, he was all powerful, via the Father, he probably ripped my arm off without breaking a sweat. But do you know what I reckon? I reckon Jesus would let me win anyway, because that's the kind of guy that he was. Jesus was the absolute best at laying his life down for other people. He was the absolute star of it. Jesus was perfection, the epitome of perfection. And I would imagine under that white robe that he always seemed to be depicted in, was a ripped, chiseled physique. He was a carpenter and used to some heavy lifting. We know he never missed leg day because he walked miles on end. Dude walked everywhere, and it wasn't like from here to the shops, it was like from here to Rotorua. Anyone walked to Whakatane recently? I certainly haven't. He didn't even stop walking when he got to the beach. He just kept on going. Just walked on water, kept walking. But if you read Luke 18:18, this is where Jesus acknowledges that even he wasn't the man. Even he recognized that he was built for something else, that he was built for servitude. And we just sung, like literally 20 minutes ago, what other king gives up his crown? What other king gives up his throne? Right, so I'm going to give you 4 points, 4 ways to be your best, 4 ways that you can strive to be your best. And we're not talking about perfection here. There is only one perfect person, and he is obviously ascended on the from the cross. But 4 ways that you can be your best. Number one, speak over yourself what has already been given to you. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power. Speak into you yourself. Speak into your body. Speak over yourself over and over and over and over again. You have been given power. You need to get a hold of this. If you have given your life to Christ, you have been empowered with it. You haven't been empowered with everything that Christ has done, everything that Christ said. You can speak into your body. You can speak over your addictions. You can speak over any injuries or illnesses or anything like that. You just have to grip it and believe it. And like the boys said, you have to have a revelation of who he was, because he has given you that power, and you just need to speak it out over yourselves. Do yourself a favor. Be the best you could possibly be, and speak over the stuff in your life that may not be going right, and speak over the stuff that is going right, because you want it to grow. If you are financially blessed, speak over it and say, let me be more financially blessed so I can do more. If you've got amazing power and strength, speak over that power and strength and say, I want more so I can do more. Make your capacity grow. Speak over your own capacities. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Exclamation point right there. Speak it out. Number two, treat the valleys as a half pipe. Anyone a skater here? Skateboarder? I used to be a skateboarder. The whole purpose of a half pipe is to drop in and get up the other side, and normally to go higher than what you've just dropped in on. The flat part in the bottom is simply a means of transporting you from this top of the half, this point of the half pipe to the other point of the half pipe. You're not supposed to stay there. You are not designed to stay in a valley. You treat the valleys as a half pipe. You're soon going to come up the other side, and you're going to come up the other side quickly. Joshua 1:9 in the message, strength, courage, don't be timid, don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. No matter what is going on in your world, no matter what is going on in your world, he is there with you, and he wants you to come through it like a half pipe and launch up the other side. He does not want you to dwell in the valley, because that's not what it's all about. God is there with you. He is encouraging you. He is probably up the other side of the valley, reaching down like this to pull you up out of there. You know, that's what God has for our life. That's the favor that God has on your life. Sorry, I'm getting all emotional. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Sink that into your spirit. With you, wherever you go, whatever you do. Even if you turn to the wrong side, God hasn't departed from you. I spent many, many, many years on the wrong side, but God was there even though I didn't know he was there. He was there even though I did not know he was there. And he will be with you when you don't know he's there. Always. Wherever you go. Sorry, excuse me. Number three, give yourself a break for being weak, or as I've called it, for being a human being, for being human. We have times where we fail. We have times where we are weak. We have those times, and it's okay. Don't beat yourself up about it. You're not your best when you're beating yourself up about something that's gone wrong. You know, you're your best when you give it back over. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10 in the message. I love this. My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own and your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And I love how that's an exclamation mark. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. And the NIV, for when I am weak, I am strong. That's what it's all about. When you're weak, be your best being weak. Don't be timid. Don't let your weaknesses take hold of you. Remember that when you are weak, you are strong because you have God's greatness and authority and power and glory inside of you. And you start speaking over and over and over that weakness and that half pipe, you're just going to launch right up the other side. Number four, role model JC, role model Jesus Christ, the epitome. Philippians 3:16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Jesus Christ was the ultimate at being the best. No matter where he went, he always gave 100% to what he was doing. Even when he came to the temple and he was tipping over tables, he was doing that because he knew it was the best thing to do. And when you get that revelation of Jesus Christ, and that's why I love those boys getting up here and just saying, when you have a revelation of who he is, it changes your worldview completely. It changes your worldview of yourself, your self-view completely. You start looking differently at yourself in the mirror. Trust me, it's true. Sorry, I'm just going to have another drink. And if the band could come, that would be awesome. Jesus Christ was perfection. We're not asking, I'm not asking for you to try and be perfect. I'm asking that you just try and be your best each and every single day of your life. Some days it's really, really hard. Some days things are so on top of us that it's so hard to be at our best. It's so hard to be at our physical best condition. I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for the physical best, the best in your heart. The best you could possibly be when you're in front of Jesus, when you're in front of God and you say, I can't do this on my own strength. I'm physically exhausted. I'm so tired. You don't know what's going on. But you know what? I'm going to be the best me I can possibly be in front of you, and I'm going to lay it down in front of you because that's the best thing I can do. So my challenge is that you be your best. That you be your best. And like John the Baptist, this guy was at the peak of his powers. He was, you know, like I said, he was dunking people left, right, and center. He was at the peak of his powers. He was prophesying. He was out there in the towns and the cities, and he was doing God's amazing work. And many people, they thought he was the best. They thought this guy was the best. King Herod was so challenged by him that he had to cut him down. They had to come down because they were so afraid of what he was doing, that the power he had, because he was so good at what he was doing. He was transforming lives each and every day. And yet John the Baptist, as good as he was, as the best that everyone thought he was, he took one look at Jesus and he said, the straps of sandals, I'm not even worthy to touch. We can be at our absolute best, but we have to recognize who is the absolute best. Yes. Yeah. And you have to get that into your spirit. And you have to open up your heart to recognize that what we're doing is for him. It's for him. It's not about us. It's not about us. But I just want you to really get it into your spirit to try and do your best each and every day. Each and every day, even as you wake up on the wrong side of bed, it takes 2 seconds to say, Lord, I've woken up on the wrong side of bed. I want to be at my best today. Please help me with this. That's a simple prayer you could pray. And I can guarantee you, as soon as you pray something like that, your mindset changes. You know why your mindset changes? Because all of a sudden, you've given it over. You've given all the bad stuff that happened during your sleep, you're tossing, you're turning, whatever it might be, you've just delivered it. You've spoken it out of your mouth, because when you speak something out of your mouth, power comes attached to it. God gave us that power, and you've just got to speak it. And when you speak it, you've got to live it. And when you live it, you've got to show it. Show people what it is to live this life. Show it. So I'm going to open up the altar right now. And I want to open up the altar to anyone that doesn't feel at their best. And I'd love to pray for you tonight. So as we move into a song, I just want to open up. If you feel that you haven't been given your best, or you're not performing at your best, I want to open up this altar to you tonight. And we'll pray for you, and we'll pray that you can walk in that blessing and that power and that authority, and that you can begin to speak over your life how to be your best. So just come in your own time.